Hi, everybody. Welcome to our Saturday morning podcast. Well, my Blazing Five last week went 2-3, so for the first time in my career, I was under 500, 40 wins, 42 losses, 2 ties. COVID got me in September and October. I was awful to start the year. I'm going to get to RJ Bell at pregame.com and Fox Sports Radio in a few minutes. First, though, my Blazing Five picks.
That's a hot one. Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins Blazing Five. Colts at Bills.
All right, I'm going to take Buffalo minus 6.5 here. They're the hottest team in the league, 7-1 record at home, won 6 straight games by 10-plus points. And the other thing, teams go in waves. Seattle's struggling right now. The Bills, since week 12, are number one in the NFL, much better offensively than Kansas City since week 12, and it's not debatable. Number one in everything. Points, point differential, yards. The Colts worry me. I think they'll stay close for a while, but in the second half, Phillip Rivers, when you go off script and you just need him to make a play, lowest ceiling in the league. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, second half, they can do stuff off script. I like the Bills to win and cover 31-20.
Rams at Seahawks.
Like it, I love it. I bet this game got a better number than the number now, but L.A. plus 3.5, I'll take them. The Seahawks, more than any team in the league, play one possession games. They're always close, especially their rivalry games. 25 games decided by one possession since 2019, most in the NFL. And their offense now is struggling. DK Metcalf has disappeared. And no defense gives them more consistent trouble than the Rams. They sacked Russell Wilson 11 times this year, 16 times in 3 games. And the Rams' defense is number one in yards per play allowed. By the way, Cooper Kupp back, Cam Akers back, Andrew Whitworth back. And even if they go to the backup quarterback, Seattle's not going to score a lot. He can have a Jalen Hurts ability. You're kind of guessing how to defend him. Upset of the weekend, Rams 21, Seahawks 20.
Buccaneers at Washington.
I think Washington is the play plus 8. Didn't bet it, but it's the play. They've been 5-2 over their last 7 games, have the Washington football team, and they've held opponents to 20 points or fewer in each of their last 7 games. So Ron Rivera didn't have a preseason, little choppy in September, October, but in the last 2 months, Ron Rivera's defense, A, it had talent when he got there, and B, now the talent's being well coached, they're no fun to play. Alex Smith 5-0 in his last 5 starts, and the Bucs and Tom Brady have struggled. Tom's a habit guy. Night games this year, been bad. Playoff teams this year, been bad. I don't love the matchup for Tampa here. I have them winning, but I think it's choppy. It's got upset written all over it. I would take Washington plus 8. 26-20 Tampa wins, does not cover.
Bears at Saints.
Wouldn't touch this if you paid me, but I'll just take the Bears side, because now it's up to 9.5, 10 points. And that's, you know, here's how I feel. Saints have the best roster in the league and are going to win this game, but there is value. A lot of times I'm not betting teams, I'm just betting a number. This number, some will tease this up to 10, 11 points. Chicago's got a real defense. Trubisky's been in playoffs before. I like the coach. David Montgomery now is running the football. Since week 12, the offense for Chicago has been at least something. We know the Saints are better. Their offensive pieces are so good in New Orleans. You got Drew and Taysom and Alvin Kamara, Emmanuel Sanders, Michael Thomas now finally healthy. By the way, the Saints haven't had Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas together at full strength in a long time. The Saints are going to win, but I'm just playing the number here. 9.5 is too much to give anybody, especially there's no fans in New Orleans. If there's fans, I call for a blowout. 28-23, Saints win, but I take the Bears' side.
Browns at Steelers.
Like the Steelers, I love them. Now, I got this at 4, but at 6, and I'm still comfortable with it. Pittsburgh minus 6. 2 bad things happening. Actually, there's 3. The Browns have the fewest players with postseason experience, 15 of any team in the playoffs. Bad. Experience matters. Secondly, they're the only playoff team with a negative point differential. Bad. Third, they don't have their coach. I don't think it's that big, but it's something. I didn't like Cleveland to start. Now things are unraveling. Big Ben, at home, rested, will be the most comfortable of the 2 quarterbacks. Olivier Vernon's out for Cleveland. Good pass rusher. The Steelers have allowed the fewest sacks in the NFL and also have the most sacks in the NFL. So translation, of the two quarterbacks, Big Ben at home, rested, will be the most comfortable quarterback. I think you'll feel like Pittsburgh is the better team for 3.5 hours. But I do think Cleveland has the ability to score. Cleveland's running game will have Big Ben watching some of this game, not playing in it. But I'm comfortable with the number, Pittsburgh 28, Cleveland 20. And I don't feel the game will feel that close. It'll feel like Pittsburgh is the better team with the more comfortable quarterback. So here we go with RJ Bell. Pregame.com, his Twitter account, at RJ in Vegas. Also hear him daily, Monday through Friday, straight out of Vegas, Fox Sports Radio. So here we go. I generally don't have a lot of confidence in playoff picks because during the regular season, RJ, I got 15 games to choose from. I just pick 5. And generally, I really like 3 to 4. In the playoffs, 6 games, I got to pick 5. So I'll give you my best effort. Here we go. Buffalo -6.5. I would take the Bills here. They're 7-1 at home, only lost to the Chiefs. 6 straight wins by over 10. Since week 12, they're number one in the league in points, yards, double-digit wins. And I think the Colts, after halftime, a disturbing trend. They're very good on script. But when you need Phillip Rivers to be dynamic off scripted plays, there's nothing there. I would take the Bills here. What do the wise guys think?
Agreement. Slight agreement, but agreement. First off, what you said at the top is the most important thing we could say today, which is if you've got 6 games, what percentage of those are you going to play versus 15 or 16 in the regular? Because people want picks on every game, and I think having a lean is fine, yeah. But for a pick to be a winner long term, the line has to be wrong.
Yes.
And the line is often right.
Mostly right.
The Vegas guys are pretty good at this, right? So here's why I agree with you, and I think, and listen, let's get some credit here. If the Bills are as good as they seem, you were ahead of this. Like, you putting them first in the hierarchy, what's it been now, 3 weeks?
Yeah, 3 or 4 weeks, yeah.
I mean, that is ahead of the game. The funny thing is, most of the serious analytics people still think Kansas City's the better team. Mm-hmm. I don't quite understand that, but we'll get to that, I'm sure, next week. Here's what I like about Buffalo. No one's talking about this. The Bills had one bad game this year. It was against Tennessee.
Yeah.
That was an atrocious situation because if you remember, they had a Thursday game the next week against Kansas City scheduled. The Tennessee game kept getting delayed.
Yes.
They come Monday morning, they didn't know who they were going to play. And they play Tuesday at Tennessee. So I think the Bills are even better than they seem. Only reason I don't love this game, home field advantage this season just doesn't mean much at all.
It doesn't.
And thus, you're laying almost a touchdown against a playoff caliber team. So to me, if this game would have been last week, the line would have been 5. The fact it's gone up is because everyone was so overwhelmed by how good Buffalo looked, even with their backups. But I still lean towards the Bills agreement.
Okay, this is a game, RJ, that I did bet. I took LA +4.5. It has now come down significantly. It's 3 in most places. So I like the Rams. But I got the number at a much better space on Monday. So the Seahawks, here's why. Listen, 25 of their games since 2019 for Seattle have been decided by one possession. That's the most in the league. And since week 10, this is a below average offense. And the Rams specifically have sacked Russell Wilson 11 times this year, kept him under 250 passing yards. Jalen Ramsey is a tough matchup for DK Metcalf. So points will be at a premium. Cam Akers is back. Andrew Whitworth is, and I think Goff plays. So I like this was my favorite bet of the weekend when it was 4, 4.5. What would the wise guys think?
Certainly agreement at your number. I say agreement at 3.5 even. At 3, I think it's starting to be the right number. So let's say an agreement, because I think there's some 3.5s out there still. So let's go agreement clean. Cooper Kupp back, good thing. Whitworth is a big deal,
yes.
A big deal.
Yes.
And here's my question to you about Goff. Goff, as a healthy quarterback, is clearly better than Wolford.
Yes.
The question is, if a thumb if you're limited, is Goff that much better than Wolford, with the idea, too, that a running quarterback, you actually raise up the floor because you can never be horrible as a running quarterback. We've seen with Jalen Hurts, if you can run, you're going to be kind of viable. How much of an upgrade do you think a hobbled Goff is?
Well, it's a real good question. Plus, I started noticing this about 4 weeks ago, is that McVay's system is so dependent on the run game and rolling out, and Goff has lost confidence in both throwing and running.
That's bad for a quarterback,
yeah,
by the way.
But that offense with Wolford, it actually is a better fit. I said this the other day to a friend. Trubisky would be a better fit in L.A. than Goff because they don't throw the ball deep. That's Trubisky's weakness. And they roll on virtually every other play, Trubisky's strength. So I don't think Goff increasingly is a great fit with McVay. But your point being that I think we agree on Wolford for a game could be a little bit of an unknown and a headache.
I would rather take the backup quarterback and 5 points than I would with Goff and 3. And I think the market considers right now that Goff is about 3.5 points or 4 points better if he was healthy, but not healthy, we're thinking it's more 2, 2.5. I would rather have the extra 2.5 points in the backup quarterback. Last thing about quarterbacks and about the game, Russell Wilson, you said that demarcator being week 10. I got some numbers on this. If you look at the expected points added, a very respected analytical way to look at quarterbacks and other players, week 1 through 9, first 9 weeks, Russell Wilson, number 1 in the NFL. Week 10 on, number 18. Something is different. I think there's value on the Rams.
Okay, this is a game I did not bet, but I would take Washington +8. And I think this game's going to be low scoring and ugly. First of all, the Washington football team, 5-2 over the last 7 games. They've held opponents to 20 points or fewer in each of the last 7 games. Alex Smith starts, 5-0 last 5 starts. The Bucs have struggled against playoff teams this year. They're 1-5. Brady's been awful at night. And if you look at Tom's last 6 road playoff games, he's 2-4. That's it. With a passer rating well below his average. I think this game's ugly. I think Washington's defensive front controls much of Tampa's run game. I don't think they'll be able to run the ball. So whoever wins, I would take Washington +8. What would the wise guys say?
A clean agreement here. This is a classic. This is an old school play. You're just getting extra value. You're going against the very public Tom Brady. Let's get into this idea of the nighttime game. Because, you know, there's if you look at games themselves, I'm talking about chess, I'm talking about poker, there's either games with perfect information or imperfect information. So chess, you know everyone's pieces. Now it's how good you are at it. Poker, you don't know the other player's cards, so you have to make guesses, estimates. We're estimating right now, is this nighttime effect really meaningful or not? But the reality is, when you look at the numbers, if it is meaningful, it's a big deal. The last 7 night games for Tom Brady, his teams are 0-7 against the spread. Now, remember, the spread is going to account for everything else. Who was hurt in the game, how good the opponent was, that's all covered. So the spread is saying 0-7. And by the way, the margin in those games away from the spread, 14 points a game. So the spread has overestimated Tom Brady's team by 2 touchdowns the last 7 times on average he's played at night. Thus, we have imperfect information. We don't know if that's just kind of fluky or true, but if it's true, it's big. So I think you got to at least account for it a little bit. And I got one more factor. I mean, you had Alex Smith, 5-1 as a starter. They're scoring 9 more points a game. You've got all that. One last thought, though. If the Bucs do get up big, let's say they get up 10, and it's the fourth quarter's just starting, does Tampa want to expose Brady to some meaningless potentially hits with that great D-line? I think they get conservative late, and the chance of a back door is open for Washington, where typically with an offense not that good, you wouldn't think so. I think Tampa gets conservative with the lead to avoid Brady getting exposed to hits, and thus I like Washington even more.
Again, this is a game I would not bet. Chicago 9.5. I'd probably try to tease it up if I could to 10, 11 if I could. Listen, the Bears' offense is better since week 12. 7th in points, 6th in rushing yards. They're using David Montgomery. Trubisky has played in the postseason. Chicago can death by 1,000 cuts, but I do think They won't have a ton of time to throw. They'll protect Breeze here. And so I think, you know, I would take Chicago and all the points. I'd tease it to get more. I don't love this spot. I could see New Orleans. They're going to win. It's by how much. What would the wise guys determine here?
I tell you, I think this one would be split, but I am under, and I've told you about my I don't bet against Belichick. I don't bet against Sean Payton at this point because what he's able to do, I don't understand it. I can look at most teams, look at their stats, and say these stats will lead to this result. And in the long term, I'm right, meaning the stats and the scores line up. Wouldn't you agree, Colin, that Sean Payton's ability with backup quarterbacks, with Bridgewater last season?
Oh, it's different class. I mean, Andy Reid's second, but it's you know, he's the only guy doing that in the league and perhaps in league history.
And I agree. And I think it's a situation where everyone's telling me about the strength of Breeze's arm, and they're telling me about this. And I was, you know, right on Straight Out of Vegas, I was talking to Jonas Knox about it, and he was telling me all the limitations of Breeze. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Isn't the point of all the qualities a quarterback and other players are supposed to have is scoring points? Well, how many points are the Saints score? It's like there's all these reasons they shouldn't be doing what they're doing, but they are. And thus, I don't want to go against the Saints. Now, this line has gone up. I mean, this thing opened up around 7.5, and it's up to 10, and there's no injury news or anything. This is just the pros are back in the Saints here. One last thing. A lot of optimism now in some circles with Trubisky. Let's look at the defenses he's played against during this nice run. Yes. Lions, Texans, Vikings, Jags. It could be, you know, four of the seven worst defenses. And then against Green Bay, they only had 16 points. So I'm a pessimist with Trubisky, so I'm going to disagree with you on the Bears.
Thoughts on the Browns and Steelers next on our Saturday morning podcast with R.J. Bell of pregame.com. Stick around. All right, R.J. Bell, welcome back. This is I already bet this game, and I got Pittsburgh -4, and now it's up to 6 or 7. I like Pittsburgh here for very simple reasons. First of all, you know, there's the offensive line issue, the COVID outbreak. Baker's the only quarterback this weekend playing potentially that has no playoff experience. Everybody else has a quarterback if Goff plays with playoff experience. But the Steelers' offense has allowed the fewest sacks, and their defense has the most sacks. What does that tell you? Big Ben will be the more comfortable quarterback this weekend. Olivier Vernon is out for Cleveland. That is an understated loss. So I'm going in to a playoff game where the home team quarterback is more comfortable than the younger, least experienced, smaller, less talented quarterback is on the road. So I would lay the points here with Pittsburgh. What do the wise guys think?
My favorite pick of the week, agreement here. I will say this, and I'm doing this for your benefit, Colin, is there's a whole contingency out there of shows that will talk about all their great lines they get ahead of, you know. So I'm assuming you do bet the game sometimes and not be 3 points better than
No. Listen, I'll be honest with you.
That's a running joke, though, is that on certain shows you'll be like, oh, yeah, I bet that at 9.5, but now it's 6.
It's interesting about this, RJ. I've thought about this. I've been doing Blazing 5 forever. But as more people are betting and the market is more sophisticated, I have thought about changing my Blazing 5, maybe not even doing it, or doing something where I make picks during the week so I can add true value to a gambler or a bettor's life instead of, but this was a week where I really thought the Rams opening number at 4.5, I thought that was an incredible number. I thought it was a rare playoff miss by the books.
Oh, and listen, the thing is, if I could give one piece of advice, and it's all you take away from anything Colin and I's ever done, whatever we might do, it's going to be this. You cannot bet at one place at one time. And really what you're doing when you do your Blazing 5 is one moment in time on Friday, you're saying, here's one line I can pick from. That's the hardest way to win.
Of course it is. And by the way, even I called to Blazing 5. If I was smart, I would have done the Blazing 3 because that's about as many games as I like every weekend.
I mean, the thing is, what's nice about the 5 is it's the same as the Super Contest, which is the big. And I can tell you this, we've done 3 straight years in the Gold Contest, me and Fezzik, and we've had 3 winning years, and it's been an amazing run. But it is so hard to pick that fourth and fifth game.
Always.
It really is. So, and again, you don't ever do that with the I get the best line. So I thought it was worth joking about.
Sure.
Because the listeners, some might think, oh, well, Collins always get. No, you're probably getting the best line 60% of the time. Meaning if you make an early bet, I bet you have a better number about 60% of the time come game day. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I always feel this. RJ, I always feel there are two lines every weekend that deteriorate. So I always feel like, and this week there were two in the playoffs, which is rare. But I always feel like Vegas makes about a mistake a weekend, and then there's another one that may not be a mistake, but I just love the number. At that point, it's all kind of the same to me. I always feel like you get some breaks. I mean, I bet games and had a bad COVID break this year. I had a very bad September, October. Why? Well, because there was no preseason. And with COVID, I had no understanding of what anybody was until about November. So it was just one of those years where, listen, I was bad. I was bad the first 7-8 weeks. But I think generally your numbers, you don't get huge breaks. But I do think Vegas makes about a mistake a weekend.
And remember, last thing on this is when you bet early, you're betting against the odds makers and some early bettors. When you bet late, you're betting against the world. And the world with collective IQ, the wisdom of crowds, is actually smarter than that first group. We've done studies. The industry has done studies on this. If you look at the accuracy of the line about 24 hours after it opens, so let's say the early line, it is so much less accurate than the closing line. During the week, smart bettors will take away the value. So the earlier you can bet, the better. So quickly, though, about this Steelers game, my favorite pick of the week, I think there's two handicaps here. Handicap number one is Pittsburgh at -4, which was the opener, or 3.5 was the opener, but -4 was a good early line. The question is, who do you like there? I like Pittsburgh, but I don't love them. But now there's been one other big factor, which is the COVID outbreak and the coach is gone. I believe the market has under-adjusted for that. When you consider that you've got a coach that has been very meaningful for the Browns, he's been a Sherpa in a way for Mayfield, who is a fragile player, it seems, and he's also the play caller. So you eliminate that play caller. NFL teams don't have experience with their play caller not being there. This will be a one-time, first-time thing. I think 2 points from 4 to 6 was insufficient, and that's why you add it up. I like Pittsburgh.
And finally, I used to call this the bonus pick. I would not have bet this, although I do like Baltimore. This is kind of, we should call it the learning pick, the teaching pick. So Ravens-Tennessee, I really like the way the Ravens are playing. And the road team, by the way, has won each of the last 4 postseason games between these two teams. The Ravens' offense is the best rushing offense, but I think the key here is their defense. They've held each of their last 3 opponents under 15 points. And I think the Titans' defense has 2 problems. A, no pass rush, and below-average secondary talent. Now, can Lamar take advantage of that? I don't know. But I just feel like I'm getting the worst unit in the playoffs is Tennessee's defense. So I'm going to go Baltimore -3 or -4 here. What would the wise guy say?
I disagree with this, but I think most wise guys would agree with you. So let's call this a split. By the way, you were talking about home field. If you look at the last 2 NFL seasons, now let's accept the fact this year home field was less because of lack of crowd. But last season was normal, obviously. Last 2 seasons, there's been about 23,000 points scored in the NFL. The home team has scored 8 more points. 23,000 points and only 8 additional points. It's like, you know, 50.1% versus 49.9%. It's like there is no home field advantage, which I get it this year. I don't get it last year. There's something that's changed. Next season will be fascinating, hopefully with the crowds back, to see what happens. Here's my question I'll have to you as we talk this game through quickly is, how much do you account for in your handicap the fact that Tennessee's beaten them twice last 2 games within a year, right? And number 2, how Lamar in general has really struggled in not only the playoffs, but seemingly the more competitive games.
Well, let's start with the second one. I think Lamar's gotten much better in the red zone this year. I think Lamar's a better player right now than he was a year ago, and I also think he's playing with house money. There's no pressure on the Ravens this year. Bills are taking all the AFC attention away. Kansas City, in the NFC, Green Bay. Nobody's talking Baltimore. So I think Lamar's improvement, especially in the red zone, and the lack of pressure is the real edge here. Beating them previously, you know, the way I look at that is maybe there's some psychology, but you know what it is, RJ? It's the playoffs. You get everybody's best shot here.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think it's matchup. I think there's matchup. Like if you listen to Greg Cosell on your show, you realize no matter how much time I've spent in the NFL, I don't know what he knows when he looks at the film. And thus there's times, there's factors that only show themselves, I think, through the scores. And the sad thing is there's not enough games to see that all the time, right? In baseball, there's so many games you can let the scores tell you the truth underlying. I think sometimes in football, we just see a peak of that truth, and maybe there's a peak that Tennessee's got something going on that Baltimore can't handle. I will say this about Lamar. I disagree with you in the following way. Maybe in the moment, if they lose, Lamar doesn't get a ton of heat. But now it's going to be next season, 0-3 in the playoff.
Right.
I mean, he's got to feel the accumulated concern of that. And I'll end with this one. Here's the stats on Lamar. When they've been over a field goal favorite, so they were clear favorites in the game, they're 24-4 with Lamar. When they're not a bigger favorite, they're 6-5. So I think where Baltimore's confusing people is because they win the games they're supposed to win so easily.
Yeah.
And there is a bully element. And the Harbaugh,
there's a Mike Tyson quality. I call it the Mike Tyson quality. In mismatches, it was jaw-dropping. The fight was over before it started. But if you gave him even a Mitch Blood Green, an average fighter with length that could keep Mike away, suddenly Mike looked like an incredibly flawed fighter. He looked like the world's best fighter against a tomato can, and incredibly flawed against a long, angular, athletic fighter. And Baltimore, when they really have a team's number running the football, the games are over in 8 minutes. But you get them in a regular fight where they got to throw or they fall behind, to your point, they don't look the same.
That is a great, though I think the Blood Green, wasn't that outside of a nightclub when they fought? It was like Rocky V, I think. Last thing on this, and you make such a great point. Typically, people might have heard of the Pythagorean wins, and the idea was so many points that you score, it doesn't matter if it's to go up 30 to 37, it's still the same seven. And the math tells us typically those points all are equal, even though it doesn't seem logical. I think the Ravens are the exceptions. They are maybe the best team ever as a big favorite. They're an average good team when it's competitive. I think Tennessee's competitive. I like Tennessee here.
All right. Go to his site, pregame.com, at RJ in Vegas. You get a lot of wisdom. I certainly learn a lot, and we hope you've enjoyed our Saturday morning podcast. Thanks, RJ.